His message this morning and today so far, say amen. Amen. But good. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Meyer, come again. Preach to us what the Lord has laid on your heart. Amen.
Thank you once again, brother.
Okay. Well, if I'm redundant, it's so that you'll remember. But I am a missionary, so a missionary is sort of like an evangelist, and his job is to get people to do the same, go out there and get people and stuff like that. But we do need to start somewhere, so we have plenty of Bible as examples to give us. So let's turn to Luke chapter 5 to get a little encouragement. Sometimes we wonder, what are we supposed to do? When are we supposed to do it? How are we supposed to do it? And, well, thank God you have a local church you can come to, you know. Amen. And if you're not certain, or if you need someone to show you, you got a pastor, I'm sure, is willing to do that. Maybe others in the folks, you know, in here that'll help you along that way as well. By the way, this ministry of evangelizing out in the public is for everybody, even for the kids. You know, just got to keep an eye on them. They can pass out tracts. You know, I have a son. You know, he wasn't saved. You know, and I'm you know, hopefully, but you never know until later on. But he passes out tracts, and sure enough, people rip them in front of for them. But we don't discourage them. So no, we just keep them out. Our job is to get it out there. Amen. So, but it's for the whole family. Let's read what it says here in the first few verses of Luke chapter 5, and see what the Lord has this afternoon. Okay. Let's begin in verse 1, all the way to verse 11, where the passage talks about going fishing and fishers of men. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, boy, I wish that would happen down in Guadalajara. Amen. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, but have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's pretty cool, isn't it? We understand this passage of Scripture is talking about Jesus calling out the disciples, and he found some folks that were busy, and they just happened to be fishers of men, so he used that throughout their lives to kind of help them understand that, to be fishers of fish, excuse me, that there's something better, like I was talking about earlier, about being fishers of men. And so let's go fishing this afternoon. Let's see what God has for us. Father, please help us today to have your wisdom and seek your wisdom so that we can do what's worthwhile doing, Lord. And that's seeking out men to help them to be saved and grow in the Lord. Help us to help our children and be responsible for them so that they understand what it's all about. And then as a family, go out there and help others, Lord. So help us in this area of our lives, understanding that the greatest teacher we have is the Holy Spirit, which is you in us. So please fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to learn and continue to learn and go out and put it into practice. And we ask these things, Lord, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you may be seated. So Jesus calls some fishermen to help him out with his work, because now after 30-some years of being a carpenter, he went into the ministry, and that was to go and preach the kingdom of God everywhere, kingdom of heaven everywhere. And he grabbed a couple of men to train them. You know, he didn't have a great following when he went up on the cross, but that's okay, because he just needed a handful to get the job done at that time. So here's a passage of where we can learn something just by looking at it, about our attitude about and our need to be involved in the soul winning process of a soul. As I said earlier, the first thing you need to do is be sure you're saved. I find it very strange and odd that people in pulpits, not just America, but in Mexico, will get up and lead a flock of people, whether they're saved or not. I wonder if they're saved, because those people that are doing that aren't even sure of their own salvation. And there's all so many different names that they have on their church building. Because you understand, we have a lot of different denominations under just Christianity. And a lot of these churches, they preach the name of Jesus, or they talk about the name of Jesus, talk about God, and they talk about the Holy Spirit, but it's not the sound doctrine that we find in the Scriptures, or it's twisted and all that. So you be happy and glad that you have a church here. There's a Bible-believing church here, and in English, you know, King James, amen. Because it's a very good way to grow, is to have good nourishment from this book, as we talked about earlier. But we just need to get in tune with the Savior, because after all, he's our teacher. We're disciples of Christ, so we need to let him be our teacher. And of course, he's going to teach us personally through the Word of God. We speak to God through prayer. God speaks to us. Jesus speaks to us through the Word of God. And you can do that any time of the day you want. And you ought to seek and find times of the day to do that, and to grow and to do Bible study. Don't just leave it for just the service times. But there is a great place to hear this master speak and teach and show you how to go fishing. Amen. Because, you know, the idea of being fishers of men, as he says in this last verse here, in verse 11, is to go out and help men be caught for the glory of God, to be part of the family and be saved from the last of the devil and from the lake of fire. You know, go there and pull them out of the lake of fire. You know, it's a little bit different, you know. When you actually go fishing, you pull it out so you can eat it, you know, right? And if it's too small, you throw it back. If you don't want it, you throw it back. Okay, but the spiritual thing lesson is here is to catch men. And believe me, under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, which he's left us, the Comforter, is what we have today to help us. So that's where we're going to get out of this passage, hopefully. All right, so let's go through it little by little, and then make an application. If you notice here in verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, you have to understand that he preached in his own country, he preached in Capernaum, in other places like that. And then verse 43 of the last chapter, just before this verse actually, two verses, 43 of chapter 4, it says, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I'm sent. Because a bunch of people came and said, we want to hear more. Yeah, okay, but I got to go over here. I'm just not just for you guys. I got to go everywhere, okay? And so he ends up here, so those people follow him. You see a lot of in John where they followed him. Some of them just followed him to get a blessing, you know, something physical, you know, not necessarily something spiritual. And he had to correct him on that a couple of times. But nevertheless, they followed him. They want to hear his word. That's what it says. To hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. That's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes you have to fish, and sometimes you have to mend the nets and rest and all that. So that's not a bad thing. It's not like, you know, well, they should have been in the boat, you know, fishing and fishing until they caught something. Well, it might have been 2 days. He said all night they was fishing and they caught nothing. So they just, there's just sometimes that you don't catch anything, but you don't give up. And of course, there's times for preparation. And in this case, they're preparing by washing their nets. That's a good thing. Wash the nets and mend them if they need to be fixed and all that, you know. And for us, that's just a, you know, learn more, better our witness, you know. Just relax in the Lord and praise the Lord and do the things that, you know, are apart from actually going out and fishing. Because, you know, you're not going to fish all night long. You're not going to fish all day long. You're just going to fish from time to time, right? But I don't know about physical fishing. Can you fish here in Oregon all year long? Probably not, because it gets too cold for that, right? But there's some places in the world where it's perfect when it's cold to go fishing. But for me, I can only go fishing when I have the opportunity. And so that means when somebody has a fishing pole to give me. Same thing with hunting. You know, got to give me the gun and then put me out somewhere and just leave me there. So, as far as time is concerned, even in Mexico, they don't have very many fishing holes. And the one that's in Tapalpa, I don't know where the fish are. I don't. I need someone to show me. And I got somebody there that he better show me one day when I get back there. So as we see this, here they are, fishermen. And so that's their job, is to fish. And they do that, of course, to supply for their family and also supply fish for the people so the people can eat. It's just a way of living. Fishing is a way of living. And it should be for us spiritually as well, a way of living to go out and win souls. Amen. But let's learn some things from this. Let's notice the first thing here. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. There's three things here that I see that we can learn. The first one is, he entered into one of the ships. So you need to let the Lord in. You could be a fisherman and he can come up and say, I'd like to get in your boat. No, go find another boat. I don't need you. I said, who are you? Get away from me. No, they let Jesus come into the boat. Now there may be a reason by that. They heard him and they knew who he was and they wanted to hear the word too. And oh wow, sure, yeah, come in my boat. Yeah, we'd love to have you in our boat. I wonder what he's going to do, you know. But that's what you and I need to do. The first thing we need to do is we need to let Jesus in our lives. And of course, salvation is the best place to start, is to receive Christ as your Savior and allow him to be a part of your life. Because when you receive Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, everything about him that there is, to begin your walk in him. So that's the first thing you got to do. You got to let him in the boat. You got to let him in your life. But there's some things that he wants to do. It says right here, he entered into one of the ships. Now, verse 3. Also in verse 3, it says here that after he entered the boat, he prayed them that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So after you let the Lord in, you need to let him teach you. So they let the Lord teach them. The disciples did, let him in the ship to teach them. But not only them, but all those people that came, they were on the shore, and he got a little bit away from them. He did that sometimes, getting the boat away from them. And I'm sure he preached with a loud voice, just like a street preacher would lift up their voice. And that's what I do when I work in the markets. If I have somebody with me, it's best to preach publicly. And that's not for everybody. I understand that. And here in the States, it's not necessarily appreciated. And sometimes the police and all them, they give you a hard time. But you do have freedom of speech to do that. But if that's not for you, you can go with somebody that lifts up their voice and you can pass out tracts. And, you know, there's all sorts of things you can do, as I mentioned earlier. But the thing is here is Jesus. I got off on that. I don't know why. I guess this is part of it. He taught the people. So they let him in. And then you need to let the Lord teach. And then verse 3 and verse 4. In verse 3, he says to them, thrust out a little from the land. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. So the first thing is, I'm going to teach you something first, and now we're going to go a little bit deeper. Let down your nets for a draught. And a draught just means a big old handful of something. And in this case, a big old net full of fish. So we need to let the Lord lead. When the Lord says, go out in the deep, then you need to go out in the deep and throw the net. If he says, go witness to this person, you need to go witness to the next person. He says, don't witness to the next person right now, okay, then don't. You know, sometimes I want to witness to somebody, but it's not the right timing. You know, we have to be careful that we don't do things in the flesh. So that's why it's best for us to let the Lord in every day by giving him a chance to teach us and to guide us. You know, Lord, use my hands today. Use my feet today. Use my body, my mind, so that wherever I go, whatever I do, that I'm doing it where you want me to and when you want me to. Does that make sense? But that's like an active thing that we have to do on a daily basis. It's not like we can put on Jesus and let him do that just for a little bit, you know. We need to be ready to listen to hear what he has to say at any moment during the day or even night. Because we are spiritually, he is in us and he's living in us. And he wants to do something with us. He wants to make us fishers of men. And not only that, but look at verse 10. It says, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. You see all these guys? These are apostles. This is where he comes up and gets a hold of them to take them. And then, of course, he calls the other ones in different ways. But I like these fishermen right here. So he had a couple fishermen in his group of the apostles. So he says here after that, which were partners with Simon in verse 10. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Fear not. Why? Because in the verses before, he was astonished that a miracle was done. Because it was a miracle. You know, because they had been fishing all night and didn't catch anything. And as a matter of fact, he was kind of discouraged about that. And then when he says to do that, it's like, oh, here we go. But whatever you say. And then they went out in the deep and they cast it. And then all of a sudden, boom, they got so many fish in there, they had to get the other boat out there. And so not just the soon-be disciples were getting a blessing or encouraged by this or amazed by this, but probably people on the shore too. What's going on out there? So it had an effect on them. And man, I'm going to tell you right now, if you let God control your life and teach you, and guide you, and in this case, train you, because he says, fear not, I'll make you fishers of men, which means that he's going to have to train them how to do that. And he said fishers of men. They already knew how to fish for fish, sort of. Even then, they couldn't do it by themselves. You know, the Lord had to say, cast over there. And so they caught some fish. So let's just put it this way. The Lord had a way of doing that. You know, I understand that. We have to take it by faith. I am encouraged by what I read in the Bible. This stuff, this special little miracles and all that stuff, does not have to happen in my life to be convinced of what I need to do. Okay? Because I have the Word of God, and I'm convinced by that, which is good, because that's why we're more blessed. You know, he told that to Thomas. I'm going to insert this. He told that to Thomas because he was doubting. He said, I'm not going to believe unless I see it. Well, he saw it. He touched it. And the Lord said, you know what, Thomas? You touched me, but blessed are those that believe and have not seen. So we're a whole lot more blessed. I mean, and because not only because that we believe without seeing, but we have the Word of God, and they didn't have all that back then. So they needed that. They needed that. God had to do that. Jesus had to come down. Moses had to do all those miracles in order to get the children of Israel to begin to follow them, you know? So that's important. That's important that he did something miraculous here. But I'm going to tell you right now, you go out and you win a soul, and God gives you an opportunity to see someone's life changed because you're helping them, it'll do something for you. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I saw some of that in Tapalpa. It's just it didn't get to organize a church. But that's not going to stop me from trying to do that maybe somewhere else. And I'm going to tell you right now, every time I go out to do that ministry, to look for a market and then pass out tracts and then take some time to talk personally one-on-one with the people, I get excited because I realize that these people have never heard it and they don't know what I know. So if I can point them, if I can encourage them to see what the Bible has to say, that would be great. And so I sure like to be able to do that over and over, because I know that that most of the people down there, nothing has been sown. No one has gone and fished for them. You know? So, but if they have and I get to reap, good, I'll catch some. I like to catch some. I'm going to catch some and keep them. I'm going to keep them, and I'm going to train them up so they can go out and catch some fish. You know, it's a spiritual thing, right? Okay. All right. So let the Lord train you. Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. So here we have Jesus comes up on these two boats. And he says, you know what, I'm going to do something here. I got to call these guys, so I'm going to do this in this way. So he goes up to Peter and says, I'm going to get in your boat and just cast out a little bit, and I'm going to teach. Okay. So he's willing to let the Lord in. And then the Lord taught for a while, and they listened. The other co-workers listened. The people that are on the shore listened. And that was a good thing to listen. And then when the Lord said to Peter, said, okay, now let's go out a little bit deeper and you cast your net. You know, he's done talking now. Now he's going to start doing something. And you notice in this verse, let's go ahead and look at it again. In verse 4, I want to draw this out. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out of the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down thy net. I like to look at it this way. When he's saying that, Lord, we have been toiling all night, the Lord kind of looked like him like, I just told you to go out in the deep and cast the net. Don't give me any excuses. So they said, okay, all right, whatever you say, we'll do it. That's what I like to think, that just by a look of the Savior, okay, I'm complaining, because he did that a lot. You know, that was his personality. No, you're not going to die on the cross. Get behind me, Satan. you're going to deny me. I'm not going to deny you. You know, and all those, you see what happened with Peter? I'm going to pick on Peter here for just a little bit. But we're that way sometimes as well. Oh, Lord, you don't want me to go witness to that person, do you? Surely you don't want me to go there. I'll let the preacher and them go out door knocking. That's not for me. Oh, they're going to go to the fair and do that? I'm not going there. You know, because that's just outright, you know, waste of time and this and that. If you've never tried it, you ought to go out there and see what God will do. Be amazing. But go out there with the right attitude. Of course, you're going to have a little a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to even have a reason to go out there and a purpose to go out there. I mean, there's many ways that you yourself can talk yourself out of going fishing. You know, like me in Tapalpa. Do I often go to that presa, that man-made lake, to go fishing? Not lately, because every time I would go, I'd get nothing. But I have a hope that our next door neighbor, or not next door neighbor, but the friend family to our next door neighbor, has a brother. But he works in Canada, so he's out of the country. He's a truck driver and all that. And when he comes back, he goes to that man-made lake, and he catches fish. How do I know? Because I've been invited to the fish fry. And I said, where do you get all these fishes? Up here. I said, yeah, he knows how to do it, Michael. He said, you ought to go with him. Well, take me. Come by my house. I don't care what time it is. Come by my house and let's go. And I'll go with you, and I'll endure whatever we have to do. Just do it. But he hasn't done it yet. And so I haven't seen where the fish are. And so until he comes by and shows me where the fish are, teaches me where I need to go, then I probably won't go by myself. And that's what you and I need. We need to let the Lord help us in that area. And he might use somebody here that knows where the fish are, knows how to get the fish, and knows how to put the bait on. Because, you know, there's a lot of things you can talk about fishing for men, things that are involved with trying to help people. You know, you don't talk to everybody the same way. Sometimes you use the same phrase to open up a conversation to get them to hear, so you can get them on the line and reel them in for Jesus. But we should never say, well, I go fishing and I go out there and talk to the people, but they're not interested, they don't want to hear it. Those are just excuses. There are just some times when you go hunting, you're just not going to see anything, and even if you fire off a shot, you may not hit. But as you do it more and more, maybe the Lord will see your faithfulness, and maybe you'll catch something. So You know, if the Lord says go over there, you ought to go over there. All right, so let's wrap this up here. The first thing I see concerning soul winning, what you need to be a good fisher of men, is number one, you need to trust the Lord. You need to trust him for your salvation and trust him for every need you have in your life. And then you need to trust him that whatever you're going to do when you go out there to reach that, to find that soul or to help that soul, that he will use you, whether it's to sow or to reap. You need to trust him. Look in John chapter 6 real quickly. John chapter 6. And John chapter 6 is a great passage. It's another one of those passages where Jesus kind of likened meat unto food. He said, I'm bread and wine indeed. I'm bread and drink indeed. And unless you eat me, then you won't have eternal life. You won't have success. And they just freaked out. Some of those disciples walked away from him and said, we're not following you anymore. How are we supposed to eat you? That's cannibalism. And it's amazing how a major denomination, religion, uses this passage to teach that the Lord's Supper, that they actually turn the bread into his body and turn the wine, which is liquor, which is a terrible thing in itself, that would be the blood of Christ. It's not just a symbolism. They actually think that he's in that when they receive him. So when they say the body of Christ, you know, you're supposed to say, amen, I receive it. But notice here in John chapter 6, after some of those disciples left him and said, we can't walk after you anymore. Look at verse 68. He says, 68 is a response. He says in verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come after me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And that's what you and I need to be convinced of. That Jesus, you've got it all. You've got eternal life. You've got the proper way to live this life down here, the way we're supposed to live, and the preparation for eternity. So, what you got? I trust in you. And if you'll open that for salvation, receive Christ, that's awesome. But it doesn't stop there. Now you have your Christian growing faith. You need to trust Jesus every day in everything. And he's going to show you some things that have got to go and things that have got to replace it. And so if you're going to be an effective soul winner or even reach this world, however the Lord would have you do it, you need to trust in him. That's the first thing, is trust in him for everything. Just believe. And then go over to John 8. John chapter 8. Incredible passage here, John chapter 8, and I'm going to mention on one part of this to show you that, number two, you need to have a teachable spirit. It is so important to have a teachable spirit if you're going to be any success in life. You need to be willing to listen and learn, especially when you think it should be done a certain way and someone says, no, it should be done this way. If you don't have a teachable spirit, you'll say, okay, whatever, I'm going to do it my way. Or you might say, okay, go ahead and do it your way and then mess up the thing. Especially when you're in training. And we know that as when we go into a job and work out, we start at the bottom level, don't we? No matter what the job is, even if you've got a college education and all that, you go in there, you're there to be trained. And on-the-job training is the best. So you have to be able to learn and see how somebody else does it and do it that way. And then if you develop a better way, okay. But it starts out with listening and obeying and putting that into practice. So we need to have a teachable spirit. Look here in John chapter 8, after he talked and he spoke, and many believed on him, according to their knowledge and understanding of who Jesus was and all that stuff, you know, because he's talking about how his Father was God and he was the Son, and just what they believed, not really too sure, except what's in the context. But this is what he said in response to that in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And so, you need to have a teachable spirit. You need to let the Lord teach you. And all the different avenues that I mentioned before that he has for you to learn, it will help you. And then maybe if there's something that God wants you to be better in, maybe you'll find a book that talks about it. But I think the Bible is the best book. So find a book that talks about the book. concerning whether it's soul winning or helping somebody that's in need, you know, because there's a lot of things that we do when we go out and fish for people to meet the needs and help them to get them to see Jesus Christ. I'll let you fill in the blanks there with how God will use you in the ministry that he would have you in your own family and with your relatives and your coworkers and your fellow citizens here in your town as you go out fishing for them. And then thirdly, you need to let the Lord lead you, as I mentioned already. You need to let the Lord lead you. John 16, I like this one. Go to John 16. John 16, he is preparing the disciples for his departure for a brief period of time, which they still didn't understand. A lot of things they didn't understand until after he rose from the dead. But in verse 13 in chapter 16, he says this: "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come." And of course, that will help us in understanding what true doctrine is, what the correct interpretation of Scripture and view of the Scripture is, and you'll get plenty of it here at church. And then you can do it at home, check up on what the preachers preached on and all that, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth and all that. But you know what? We need something on a daily basis, God to guide us. You know, what are we supposed to talk about when we talk to people? What are we supposed to say to them? How do we reach them? I mean, there's a lot of times that I go out and I say, "What do you want me to do, Lord? Do you want me to just lift up my voice and pass out tracts and that's it? Or do you want me to speak to a specific person? Just lead me, guide me. Where do you want me to go?" I mean, there's so many people I can talk to, but who do I speak to today? Who do I go back and speak to again? So we need to be in tune with the Lord, and he has a way of showing you. He has a way of putting people in your pathway when you're out there for them to be in your pathway. Isn't there? That's it. So let him lead you. And of course, that means you need to be Holy Spirit filled. So don't ever go out of your house without asking God to fill you with the Spirit, to be able to speak the right way, to walk in the right places, and then help the right people that need to be helped. Okay? And then last of all, John chapter 21, which is a great way to close this. John 21. You remember he grabbed those disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were working together as fishermen. He gathered them together. And it's interesting, after he rose from the dead, they decided that after he appeared to them, that they were going to go fishing, which is not necessarily a bad thing to do. Some people say, you know, maybe they shouldn't have been fishing. They should have been out, you know, witnessing. But they didn't have the power yet. They're supposed to wait. So the Lord appears to them again, and this is where we are in verse 4 of John chapter 21. So follow with me as we close this out. This has to do with training, okay? In that passage, we see you trust the Lord. You have a teachable spirit. You let him tell you where to go. That's leading. And then training. Be able to be trainable and also to train others. So here, verse 4 of chapter 21. Everybody has that passage, John 21? Look at what it says here. "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Well, cast the net on the right side of the ship." Sound familiar? "And ye shall find..." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 100 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew up the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet the net broken. And Jesus saith unto him, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And in verse 13, look, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he had risen from the dead. Verse 15, And so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Okay, so what great thing do we get out of this last opportunity to use fishing as an example? The Lord has power to help you catch men, and once you do it, then you need to feed them. And so when the Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, how many did he catch? Peter, 3,000. And now he needed to feed them. Peter quite didn't get all that stuff, and so he still didn't quite get it. Now, but after this, and after the meeting with Jesus and all that, he knew what he was supposed to do, and then from then on, he did it. Even though he had some struggles in some areas, and Paul had to straighten him out on that, but nevertheless, he learned at the feet of Jesus. And that's what we need to do, folks. If we're going to be going fishing, we need to learn from the Lord and trust in him and watch him do great and mighty things in us. And the way that you're going to be able to do that is you're going to have to listen to the Master. Now, he will show you personally in your Bible devotions. He will do that. But I think one of the ways that the Lord does it is that he left the church apostles, prophets, teachers, and pastors. Why? To teach us and to help us to grow in the faith and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the unity of the faith, so that we will be effective as an individual and as a church to go out and win souls to Christ. So when your preacher, who is a representation of the great bishop of our souls, the great pastor, the buen pastor, or the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who gives eternal life unto his sheep, you have a shepherd here, and God directs him and guides him to help direct and guide you guys. And so if he gets up here and says, I thought maybe this month we would go out and pass out tracts at a certain time, if you would like to come with me, we'll meet here and then we'll go out and do that. I'm not saying, brother, that if you would do that, or if that's something you would lay on your heart, but if he said that, then I'm sure he got direction of the Lord to do that, and I think you would be blessed to help him out in that area if you could. And all the excuses or anything that would say, I can't do that, put that aside. I'm sure he'll lead you up to it. I did that. I preached on soul winning and the importance of going out and leading people to Christ before I told them, okay, so this last couple of weeks has been pretty interesting, hasn't it? And I heard these Mexicans looking at me. Maybe they understood my Spanish or not. I don't know. I said, so this Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to go after the service to pass out tracts at the local market. How many of you are going to go with me? They raised their hands. But the next week, when I said, okay, let's go, one of the guys says, I can't go. I said, why not? You said that you could go. I said, well, I'll be honest with you, Pastor, passing out tracts is not my calling. Folks, I taught on it for 4 weeks. It's not a calling, it's an obedience. It's something that we should do because it's the right thing to do. Fishing for men is not just for the leaders in this church, it's for every one of us. But he said, no, I'm not called to do that. I'm going, you're just putting a track in somebody's hand. But what could I do? Either he didn't get it, or he was determined not to do it, or he's embarrassed to go out there and see people that know him and give them tracks. Maybe he was... I don't know. What is it? Look, if you trust in the Lord, you should have no fears to go out and fish. Don't worry about those guys. I'll throw questions at you. You know, some big old fish, you know, that are hard to catch, you know, and you might have to use a different bait, you know, a different way to you know, get in there and try to show them that. You don't have to show them they're in error. Just show the Bible, and that'll show them in error. That's what I found out. You don't have to know about all the religions of this world to be able to deal with them. You just know the Bible. And then when they start throwing stuff up, that doesn't match. The Bible says this. You know what I'm saying? So you really don't have to study up on there. It helps, but you really don't have to know all that stuff. Just know the Bible. My wife did that to some religious people that came to our house and just acted innocent. Well, all I know is the doctrine I learned in the Baptist church. And they said, well, you need to understand this. And she goes, well, that's interesting that you should say that, because over here in my Bible, it says this. And then they went to a different subject, as they do. And then she said, well, that's interesting, because in my Bible it says this. And they realized, this lady knows her Bible. So they just got up and left and never came back. Every time they come down the street, they skip our house. Every time they came to the house and they talk to me, I say, come back. They never come back. You know, I'm more bold. I want to witness. I want to help them out. I want to see them get the truth, you know. But how about you? Where are you in this thing about going out and fishing? You know, do you enjoy it? You kind of dread it? You know, that's not for me. We all need to learn. And we have a great master of the sea. You know, this world knows people, and he wants to use us to reel them in, eh? And so your pastor is one place to learn from that and to be guided. But you know, we as ministers, we need to feed the sheep. And I and you guys, you go home tonight and you think, my pastor is feeding me. What am I doing with what he's been telling me? What am I doing with what he's been showing me? Because every part of it, every aspect of your life is important to build your trust in the Lord, so that you will give him place to teach you and to guide you. That makes sense? So that you'll be able to do that with others. Let's pray. Stand and pray. Father, thank you so much for salvation. And Father, thank you for this precious word that we have before us. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know 100% sure that they're saved, that that they would be confident to ask somebody to show them how. And if everyone here, Lord, is assured of that salvation and is now sure of what you say in the Word, that they're convinced now because they've seen it in the Word of God, I pray that you help them, Lord, to understand the other aspects in their lives concerning maybe a habit or maybe a sin or something like that, and talk about that this afternoon and preach on that. But those things have a tendency to hinder us, Lord, from going and doing what you would have us to do. I pray that you just speak to their hearts about that. And maybe somebody is you know, lacking boldness, Lord, or lacking an understanding of how to go about, Lord, leading someone else to Christ, or sowing the seed. I pray that you help them, Lord, to remember what's been preached in this pulpit by all those that have been here, and to do something about it. Guide them and direct them, Lord God, because I know that's what you need. And it may be a hard town, but there's still some souls here that are searching. There's still some souls, Lord, that need someone to come by and tell them, and they're ready to be saved, and others are just need a little more sowing and working on. And this church can be that lighthouse, can be those fishermen, fisherwomen that can go out there and help them, Lord, draw them in. And just help us catch some fish. Help me to catch some fish down there in Guadalajara, and be encouragement to the others there, and to go out and catch some fish too, Lord, that have been saved for a long time, but man, they just don't go out and fish, Lord. And I pray that's not the case in this church, Lord. And if it is, that you'd help them to get their poles and go, and get that Bible and get the Word of God and get those tracts and go. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, brother, for the liberty this afternoon.
Thank you, Brother Meyer. Appreciate it.
Brother Meyer came to preach. I told him, I tell all the preachers, that preach what God lays on your heart. Preach what God tells you to preach. And as I prayed and earnestly for these meetings today, I asked the Lord to give him what our church needed. And I trust the Lord did that. And so I'm thankful for that. And you know, we need to be encouraged. You know, how much is a soul worth, according to the Bible? everything. What did you say? What the scripture says, Brother Brian gave me the verse. Just left my head. Probably can leave his since I put him on the spot. He says,
the whole world.
What would man give
in exchange for his soul? What would you give? The whole world. The whole world. The whole world. If you gain the whole world, what would it profit a man if it's coming together? What's the verse? What shall it profit a man if he, what is it? Gain the whole world and lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There it is. See, I need to remember, get back in my Bible, then let me fresh up on some of those verses I've let slip. But if one more person got saved, it'd be worth every dollar you and I make the rest of our lives. In God's eyes, it'd be worth all the time we put into it. It'd be worth all the if just one more person, that voice wasn't among those screaming in agony in hell for all eternity, and that voice was in heaven. If just one more got saved. That's what I always hope for when I go, and doesn't matter how many times, just one more, Lord. One more. One more. There's some out there. They are hard to find around here. Those of you who have been out visiting, you know that. but listen, there's some out there. That's why we're still here. That's why we're still here. So I thank you for that message. It's been a challenge to my heart, too. And God showed me some things and given me some direction, brother. And I thank you for that. And I'm thankful for the meeting that we've have here today. I'm thankful for this church, for all that you do, folks. This is a busy church. A lot of churches, it's 20% or the 20% doing 80% of the work. It's scattered out around here, and folks are doing it. So much being done in this church by so many folks. I'm just so thankful for it. But like all Christians, we're not done till He comes back. Amen. Amen. And we're not where we need to be in our walk with God until He comes back either. All of us need to be drawn closer. Amen. What a blessing. It's been a good meeting, and I'm thankful for the renewal in my heart and the challenge to me. What a blessing. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for bringing Brother Meyer our way. And dear God, I do pray, Father, you are mighty. We are your dear children. You meet our every need. You provide for us, God. I pray that you'd help him on his furlough, and he'd be able to get the support that he needs, Father, to return to the work in Mexico. And, Father, to be used of you greatly. Help him to get meetings. Help him, dear God, give him safety in his travels. And be with him as he goes, Father. And Father, just bless his way. And prepare hearts to have a part in his ministry. So, Father, we thank you. We do praise you. We thank you for another good day in your house. Your Spirit's been here. You've spoken to us again for the glory of your Son. And Father, now might we just spend the remainder of this day and just in thankfulness to you and in doing whatever your voice would bid us to do. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you, to praise you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Charles,